Rob Parsh.
Central Avenue.
We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Through that handbook for the recently deceased, it says, live people ignore the strange and unusual. I myself am strange and unusual.
You look like a regular girl to me.
You read our book.
Yeah.
You could follow it.
Yeah, why were you guys creeping around in Delia's bedroom?
We were trying to scare your mother.
Stepmother. Anyway, you can't scare her. She's sleeping with Prince Valium tonight.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, everybody, this is Kevin Farley, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Homemade biscuits, homemade broadcast.
Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2,
it is the spooky, ghoulish, the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio, on RadioSaintPete.com. My name is Will Kuntz. Welcome to the show, folks. A special Halloween edition of the podcast. How are you? Are you going trick-or-treating? Are you going to take your kids out? Do kids even do that anymore? Is that a thing that kids do? I saw some kids playing at the park the other day, and I went, what the hell are you doing? And I shouldn't. But it's bizarre seeing kids by themselves. They were just throwing rocks in the lake. They weren't doing anything. But I was like, this doesn't seem right for some reason. And I think it's just because all the kids are inside playing video games and hanging out on their phones. They don't hang out in the real world anymore. They all just gather and hang in the virtual world. They play Fortnite and stuff, video games. I don't even think they do Facebook or social media anymore. They just, like, interact socially through the games that they play. And I must admit, it is an interactive world, you know, that they can live in now. It sounds fun, but I'm glad I missed that stuff. I stopped playing video games. I played Resident Evil 2, which is a spooky zombie game. And I beat it. And it scared the living crud out of me. So I didn't play video games anymore after that, really. I played Madden up until about 2006. But, I just kind of, you know, outgrew it. I got a car and stuff and then went and, you know, to the mall and stuff. But that just doesn't exist anymore for the kids. Now, that is spooky, I'll tell you what. Anyone know what else is spooky? I risked a copyright strike from YouTube by playing that Misfit song right now. Now, that is spooky. Three of those, you get thrown off YouTube. You want to know what else is spooky? Check this out. Now, that sound effect back there is spooky. That's how you know that it's a Halloween show. With spooky sound effects. Watch this. Oh. That's not from my house, by the way. That's a sound effect. There's not a screaming woman in my apartment right now, I assure you. Good or bad. For good reasons or bad reasons. A woman screaming. I wanted to call Paul Bearer up. Okay, I can't concentrate with that playing in the background. I wanted to call Paul Bearer up because he's the Halloween guy. He's like Tampa Bay's official. He's like Elvira, but a man. And he's been around forever, you know? And I wanted to call him up. He came and did the podcast last year. But I keep forgetting that people just can't drop their lives to do stuff for me at the last minute. So I dropped the ball, and, you know, I'm sure he probably would have called in and left a message and everything if I would have let him know a week in advance so he could plan it and, you know, just get it done at his leisure. But at this point, I was like, I'm recording tonight. I'm just not gonna bother him. But we love Dr. Paul. He doesn't have time. He's like, that was the time of year where he's doing TV and, you know, radio, like real radio and stuff. So, you know, like I said, I think he would do it. He's an awesome guy. He's like a buddy of mine now, kind of. So I just have to let him know in advance. But this is his time to shine. You know, he only has a few weeks. He's got 2 weeks out of the 52 weeks where he could kind of get some play and some airtime. So he's floating around now doing his thing. But happy Halloween, Dr. Paul. I always think about you this time of year. And it's officially the holiday season now. Like, we're in it now. Because right now it's, boom, Halloween, few weeks, Thanksgiving time. You know, you get ready for Thanksgiving, you have that awkward family dinner. Boom! Popping right into Christmas. This is the money time of year. This is the fun time of year. Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. Christmas time is my favorite time of year, even though I also despise it. Does that make any sense? Do you understand what I'm saying when I say that? It's a fun time of year. I like the human joy that's being spread, the connections there, the community. You know, everybody kind of gathers in the public square to check out the tree, and there's people you wouldn't normally see walking down the street all together to see this dumb big tree down there, the water, and I don't know. It's just the camaraderie of the season, the joy, and that's what it's supposed to be about. And I guess Jesus, too. But I don't really think about Jesus during Christmas time. I know that's stupid because that's what it's supposed to be about, but I kind of just view it as it's Santa Claus Day. It's not really a religious holiday. That's why I think everybody should celebrate Christmas, because it's fun. No matter what your religious background is, if you're Jewish or you're Islamic or Buddhist or whatever, you can still get into the season and do the Christmas lights and the candy and the food and the hanging out and the goodwill towards men. God bless us, everyone. So that's coming up really soon, but right now it is Halloween's time to shine. I was going to dress up, but then I remembered that I don't have anywhere to go. And I know that sounds sad, but where are you supposed to go? I mean, I got to work the weekend right before Halloween, which is when everybody's going to celebrate. You know, I do I'm the announcer for a race company, so I get paid to mispronounce people's names on purpose. For the most part, it's a lot of fun, hilarious. They love it. Most of them do anyway. The other, you know, little bit wants to kill me. So I've been doing that the past 4 years. I can't go out on Saturday night. And that's when everybody's going to want to go out, because I got to be up at 4 a.m. And then, you know, I don't think anybody really hangs out Friday. And then it's like Halloween day. You know, you got to, it's like a Tuesday or a Wednesday, right? So everybody's going to be, you know, at home. Nobody's going to go out. Maybe a few, you know, delinquents, drunks, and, you know, college kids, I guess, would go out and drink on Halloween. But I think it was 2 years ago, went downtown for Halloween, and it was like a Monday night, nobody down there. So everybody does it the weekend before, that Saturday before. That's the prime time of, you know, celebrating Halloween. And I was thinking, what am I going to dress up as? And I had I feel like I wanted to do something. You want to do something interesting, you know, have something niche or something. So I wanted to do, I've been talking about being Goldust the wrestler forever, a long time. And I never do it because it's a kind of an elaborate costume. You have to paint your whole body, you know, or at least your face and whatever's exposed gold, which that sounds like a goddamn nightmare, trying to get scrub off your skin, you know, drunkenly at 3 o'clock in the morning and in the shower, and then your shower's a mess. It would be great and all, but I just don't think it's worth it. But then I wanted to throw a spin on that. There was this skit that that Goldust did where he played the crocodile hunter. So he was Goldust, but then he was also the crocodile hunter. So he had on the khaki shirt and khaki pants, and then he went around and just, like, you know, jumped on wrestlers' backs, to just like the crocodile hunter used to do to crocodiles. So yeah, hilarious. And it would be something that probably nobody would get or understand. But I would know what it was, and it would be, you know, a lot of fun. What are you going as for Halloween? Are you dressing up for Halloween? What's your costume? call in and let me know. 813-693-2124. Visit hmbradio.com. Subscribe to the podcast. Just search HMB Radio Tampa Bay in your iTunes, your Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. It'll pop right up. Hit the subscribe button. You know, tell a friend. And leave a rating while you're there. It takes, you know, just a few seconds. Really helps me out. And word of mouth is the best form of advertising. So if you have any friends that you think may be interested in this program, you know, that are into podcasts or whatever, tell them to give me a shout, you know, give me a follow or whatever. You can reach me at home_made_man on Instagram and Twitter, and follow Radio St. Pete while you're there. Radio STPETE. And of course, you can get me on Facebook at facebook.com/HMB Radio. What was your favorite costume growing up? 813-693-2124. My grandma made me this ninja costume one year. It was freaking sweet. She did an awesome job. She tailored it to me. Like, grandmas knew how to sew, you know? Like, I don't know if kids' grandmas know about sewing now. They're all baby boomers and stuff. I don't know if they hire somebody to hem their pants. They didn't sew. They didn't grow up in that era. But my grandma made me this costume. It was super sweet. And then I even got to wear it, you know, other times throughout the year and be a ninja running around. It was super, super awesome. That was definitely my favorite costume growing up. And then I just had this one year where I just had this dumb werewolf mask. And then I just wore a rip. My dad just cut my shirt and stuff. But it looked awesome. And then I was even that guy running around for weeks after that. I always remember that. It wasn't really a costume. It was just a kid with a mask on and a ripped up shirt. But I don't know, something about it, I just enjoyed the simplicity of it, the low fineness, I guess, of that costume. What about you? 813-693-2124.
You're listening to The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.
The Homemade Broadcast is brought to you by TruVSalonAndSpa.com. That's right, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B. Chrissy's got the Botox lady coming. Once a month, she comes in, and boy, does she come hard. That's right. She's shooting that Botox all over everybody's faces and into it as well. So make sure you get your Botox treatment. Make sure you get a haircut so you don't look like a real-life ghoul this Halloween. TruVSalonAndSpa.com. And, of course, HomemadePodcast.com. That's my podcast consulting company where I just teach you how to make podcasts and stuff. If you are interested in learning how to do that, don't know where to start, don't know how to begin, I've been doing it many years now. I can help you, whether it comes to hardware or RSS feeds, anything technical. I'm your man. If you're a business that's you know, wants to create some sort of audio content for your website, I'm your man for that too. Let's work together. Email me. Reach me at homemadepodcast.com, and you can leave a message on that same number, the HMB radio line, 813-693-2124. And if you're a business that maybe wants to advertise on this podcast, why the hell wouldn't you? Give me a shout. 813-693-2124, hmbradio.com.
The Homemade Broadcast is on radiosaintpete.com.
Oh, man, it is the spooky season, and there is nothing spookier than the election. That's right. Oh, my God. Can you wait? Or cannot wait as much as me for this whole thing to be over with. I have had it. Absolutely had it. First year, I got text messages from campaigns. Just, I don't know how they got my phone number. I mean, I know that you can just probably, because Facebook asks you to put in your phone number to secure your account. Other places too, but, you know, Twitter. But Facebook's the one that I'm most suspicious of. You put your number in there, and then they go ahead and sell it to these idiots. And then you get an automated text telling you about how one guy's a socialist and the other guy's a friggin' racist, and oh my God, I'm so sick of it. I just respond. I don't think there's any, you know, nobody's reading these, obviously. But if there is, the perfect response, folks, if you want to just tap out, is just say these three words: I'm a felon. That's all you have to say. And then if there is somebody on the other end, they go, oh, well, you can't vote anyway, so I'm going to go ahead and not bother you anymore. That's the way to do it. Although I think there's an amendment to let felons vote. So maybe that wouldn't work, you know, next election. I don't know. I'm so sick of it, though. I cannot wait for it to be done. But it won't end no matter what. It's still going to go on. I feel like Can you believe that Trump's been president for 2 years? It seems like, what, 6 months? But no, it's been almost 2 years. I can't freaking believe it. And people just haven't shut the hell up about it the entire time. I don't know if it's just because more people use Twitter and social media and stuff or what the deal is, but holy moly, I am super ready for this to be over with. And I saw this article today involving Andrew Gillum, who's the Democratic candidate for governor. And he was the one I got the text message about him being a socialist or whatever. But apparently he was under some sort of FBI investigation, and nothing really came of that or whatever. But then it got released that records show that FBI agents gave Andrew Gillum tickets to Hamilton in 2016. First thing that came to my mind is, wasn't there a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode about this, where Larry promised the Oyster Shucker tickets to Hamilton? And then, what's his name? Miranda was like a guest star on the show for a little while because he was going to work with him on the Fatwa play that he was doing. Isn't this the script from Curb Your Enthusiasm? I'm really starting to believe that make-believe and real life are just bleeding together now. The quantum fabric or whatever is just breaking down, and we're just mashing these fake things and real things together, and nothing really matters anymore. But yeah, I guess the records released by former lobbyist Adam Corey today appear to refute what his campaign has said about the trip. So let's read this from the Tampa Bay Times. Undercover FBI agents paid for Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum's hotel room and his ticket to the Broadway musical Hamilton during a 2016 trip to New York City, according to a bombshell trove of records that raises new questions 2 weeks before the November 6th election for Florida governor. Among the records released Tuesday, photos, a video, and dozens of text messages between Gillum, who is the Democratic nominee for governor, and former lobbyist Adam Corey, and an undercover FBI agent. They appear to contradict Gillum's explanation for the expenses, which have been made a major issue by his Republican rival, Ron DeSantis. Gillum's campaign has maintained and continued to do so Tuesday after records were released that Gillum's brother, Marcus, handed him the ticket for that show. But text messages from the time show that Gillum was told the tickets came from Mike Miller, in quotes, an FBI agent looking to the city's corruption who was posing as a developer. Mike Miller and crew had tickets for us at Hamilton tonight at 8 p.m., Corey texted Gillum on August 10, 2016. Awesome news about Hamilton, Gillum replied, according to the records. The campaign has not said how Marcus Gillum, who lives in Chicago, came by sought-after Broadway tickets or whether Andrew Gillum asked his brother about it. I don't see what the big deal is here. I got to be honest with you. I know he's accepting things from lobbyists, and that's probably a conflict of interest, but you know they all do this. I'm not saying it's right. I agree that it's totally wrong, and something should be done about it. But you know that everybody is taking these things. They're not bribes. They're just little gifts that turn you in the right direction about how you feel for things. My bosses do it. My old boss wrote campaign checks to both candidates for mayor of St. Pete, just in case he ever needed something. So, everybody knows this is the deal. I mean, we got to get the money out of the politics, but how do you do that? I don't think there's a way to do that. They have to campaign. They have to raise money for their campaigns, I guess. I mean, I don't know, but you know they're all doing this. My boss is at work now. They don't buy clients or anything, but if they get a good amount of money on a case that they're working on, then maybe they'll send them a bottle of wine and maybe take some Bucks tickets and go enjoy yourself at the game. It's just part of the deal. Some companies completely outlaw that and they don't even mess with them, but the ones that allow it, I mean, they take advantage of them sometimes. This one lady, she wanted my boss got her tickets to an event, and then she called him up and he goes, "Hey, I'd like, can you provide some sort of transport?" And it was a big case he settled with her. So he made a decent amount of money. So then he had to go rent her a limo and set her up in the box and everything just for this one case. Now, it's not buying the client. She would have done it probably anyways. They have a business relationship, but it sweetens the pot. And I feel like that's what this is. I don't know. I mean, it's a big deal, and it's not. What do you think? Is this should this disqualify him from being governor, Andrew Gillum? 813-693-2124. Visit me at hmbradio.com. Let me know what you think. I don't know. I'm not worried about it.
This is the Homemade Broadcast. This is RadioCP.com.
On Stay Woke this week, we talked a little bit about the $1.6 billion prize that one person won. One person from South Carolina took home the whole damn thing. That's $900 million in a lump sum, a little bit over. Crazy stuff. Anna and I talked about what we would do if we won the prize. Would we even want to win the prize? Stay Woke's on at midnight on 102.5 The Bone here locally in Tampa Bay. You can download the 102.5 The Bone app. Just search 102.5 The Bone, and you can get it on demand. But if you're awake, it's on every weeknight at midnight. So this week, let's hear about what we would do if we were lucky enough to win the $1.6 billion.
I did not buy a ticket.
Why the hell not? That's stupid as hell.
Why? To not buy one?
Yeah.
The chances are small and...
Of course they are.
I didn't want to.
Didn't want to.
I didn't want to.
Didn't want to... Are you that cheap that you didn't want to spend the $2 or...
Yeah.
Yes.
I am.
Rather have the $2 than potentially throwing your hat in the ring as... I know it's so... unreasonable, the odds.
Sure.
Like, you could get
hit by lightning.
But
someone's got to win, of course. I understand.
Somebody's going to win.
Somebody's got to win. Yeah. And in case you missed it, folks, get your tickets out. And you said you bought a ticket, but it's at home.
I left it at home, yeah.
For, did you remember the numbers that you picked?
No.
Okay. It was just random.
I just got a quick pick.
Okay.
You know?
All right. For those that missed it during Johnny's show, the numbers are, drum roll, please. Drum roll,
drum,
please.
Drum, 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 drum.
5.
5.
28.
Ooh.
62.
Mm.
65. 70. And the Mega Ball is 5. And if you get all of those numbers, you are walking away with $1.6 billion. Oh, yeah. Excuse me. Well, after taxes, what do you reckon? Like a little over a billion, but still.
Yeah, probably a little bit under a billion.
Okay.
Just a tad,
but I'll take it
went way, way more than you'd ever need.
Yeah,
in your life.
Absolutely. Yeah. It is definitely in the FU money range. And most people obviously would want to win, but I don't think I would want to win that kind of money. Unless
That's
I
insane.
Gave like 99% of 99% of it away.
Okay.
Is
well
that
just
ridiculous?
Do that then. No, that's fine. But that's insane to say that you wouldn't want financial comfort.
That's not what I said. I obviously do want financial comfort, but I feel like, say I wasn't going to give that money away. Let's say charity was out of, it was, you have to keep it all or invest it, give it to your friends, but it can't go to anything good. All right. It's just, it's personal, selfish endeavors and things that you want to buy for yourself and maybe your close friends and family. I feel like when you kill the stakes of life in the sense that you cannot fail anymore, unless you're a complete idiot, obviously, it's not fun. And I brought this up during Johnny's show. I was thinking about it today. You've seen Westworld, right?
I have, yeah.
Okay. I haven't seen the last couple episodes, so don't give it away.
Mm.
But essentially, it's this world, this fake world that's created for humans. They're called guests. And it's just a bunch of robots. And you can go into this world called Westworld. And you can rape people, kill people, murder people. Because they're all robots. It doesn't matter. And at the end of the day, everybody gets cleaned up and they reset them for the next day. Okay? And the humans in the game, the first season, they cannot die. So if you can shoot them, they die, in quotes. But if they try to shoot you, it like kind of stings for a second. But you can't die.
Mm-hmm.
The stakes of the game change in the second season because the main dude named Will wants to be able to die if he is killed by or if a robot tries to kill him. He wants the stakes to be real because he says the game is not worth playing if he can't win.
Mm-hmm.
If he's actually escaping death, he wants the stakes to be real. And in the second season, the robots are able to kill the humans. And that's when the game gets real. And that's when it gets exciting because the stakes are high and the stakes are real. And I feel like it's like the same with this. If you kill the stakes, if there's no way that you can ever fail, then what fun is life anymore? Am I crazy to think that, or are there other people out there?
I understand what you're saying. However, I think given the two options, I would take the Powerball winning or the Mega Millions winning.
What do you mean the two options? Either
where you the stakes, yeah, where you don't have the money or you have the money.
Okay,
that's what you're talking about.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
I would take the money. I would figure it out. Things would change dramatically. I would have to reevaluate what I really want out of life at that point, because I'm working in an industry I love working in.
Sure.
And I want to be successful in it. However, if I had everything just taken care of for me where I just didn't need to do this anymore, it's still work, right? It's still coming to work, even though it's super fun work, but it still becomes work. Right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, you consider this being at work, right?
Yeah, this is a job. This is work, yeah.
And then once a hobby becomes a job, it kind of loses that luster of... Because you even hear, like, Mike and Drew stuff like, oh, yeah, I'm going on vacation. I can't wait to go on vacation. Even though they love this more than anything in the world, they still can't wait to get away from it.
But I would argue that once they leave for 2 weeks, they can't wait to get back.
That's probably true.
Okay.
Yeah.
So with this, though, knowing that you could just F off anytime you wanted, I just don't feel like I would take everything as seriously. It just, I honestly don't feel like life would be as fun, if that makes any sense at all. Like, I don't want to say, like, I get off to the adrenaline of knowing if I can fail or succeed, but is success that enticing if you know that failure is not an option, is what I'm saying. If you know that you have a security blanket where there are no real stakes in life, that you can basically live comfortably forever, even if you never work another day in your life again. And also, you didn't earn that money. So I feel like people who have more money than this, people like Zuckerberg, Bezos, whatever, Bill Gates, they've built it up over years. They have a reputation to uphold. There are people who are relying on them to do their job. So they don't want to just, like, F off, because they've invested so many years and it's part of their identity, right? They're rich, they're Microsoft, they're Facebook, whatever they are, they're Amazon, they are the face of their companies. They don't want to stop working because, again, their whole ego and their identity is tied into what they do and who they are.
Yeah.
But for us, if you just win the lotto, suddenly you're, I don't want to say like a nobody, but then all of a sudden you become a billionaire, say. I feel like you don't value it the same. You'll probably spend it frivolously. I'm not saying everybody, but at least in the beginning, going from zero money or struggling with money to being one of the richest people on the planet, absolutely. You're going to go crazy.
Yeah, I do hear what you're saying. I just think you could use that money. So even if you just frigged off for a little while and just did the vacations, traveled the world, and then you were like, okay, I still have $900 million. Now what am I going to do? Then you could just do good with that money. Like you said, you could give it away. You can invest in charity, start your own charities.
Right.
You know, help other people achieve their dreams.
Yeah, you could do good stuff with the money. I worry that it would kill my zest for life, knowing that there was really no chance I could fail anymore. I feel like the whole reason why people do, like, adrenaline junkies do crazy sports, why they bungee jump, why they skydive, whatever they do, is because they know there's real risk involved. And that gets them excited. That gets the adrenaline pumping through their veins. But knowing that absolutely nothing could happen to them, you know, it kills the spunk. It kills the excitement, right, of the adventure.
I don't know. I have a feeling when you win, you know, that much money like that, when you become a billionaire overnight, you're just going to get a phone call and it's going to be like, hello, my name's John Stevenson. I'm the real president. Trump's just kind of the puppet that we throw out there. I'm part of the deep state, and here's the deal. And then you become an automatic player automatically in the world stage. You're like, okay, you've accumulated this amount of wealth. You have a certain percentage.
Okay.
And we need your input now, just because you have this capital, all these resources at your disposal. You could potentially harm them. So they want to get you on board
as
part of the
team.
To
lobby or to get lobbied or for people to lobby
just
you.
Just make sure you're part of the deal. Because you could hire like a military or something with that type of money.
Sure,
sure. Paramilitary, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, well, you were on Stay Woke. Sorry. Call back 727-579-1025 or 800-771-1025. I want to hear from people how they feel about the Mega Millions. Now, here's the thing, though. I would find it actually more enticing if if it was a significant amount of money, something that could really enhance your life and make your life much easier, say like $100,000 or something like that, but not FU money, not something that would absolutely obliterate my drive. Does that make sense? That less money would actually be more enticing? Like if it was...
Yeah, but why not just have more money?
Yes, and have it be even better. I understand. But I'm thinking if it was like $100,000 or something like that, mm-hmm. I could definitely use that money, obviously pay off loans, do all this other stuff, sure. Buy a new car, whatever it may be. But it's not going to kill my drive. I would use that to propel myself because I know that I wouldn't be able to rely on that for the rest of my life.
Yeah. I totally understand what you're saying.
I'm really getting into the philosophy of it. Obviously, I love money. Obviously, it would be great to have more of it. But I'm trying to think 10 steps ahead of where I would be after I won the lotto.
It would be a big responsibility. I mean, when you win that type of money, too, you're going to have people coming out of the woodwork.
Absolutely.
You're going to have your family, strangers begging for money. Mm. Yeah, your whole life would change. Now, there's always that question, would you rather have fame or money?
Oh, yeah.
What would you rather have?
Now, if I have fame, does that mean I'm dirt poor or I'm just average? I don't want to be impoverished. I don't want to be like Syrian refugee poor.
Yeah, I don't, I mean.
Let's say average.
Okay.
Well, let's get to this phone call first. You're on Stay Woke. Who's this?
Hey, this is Rob.
What's up, Rob? Did you win?
Hey.
Can I have some money?
No, I didn't win. But, yeah, I was just driving home from work and I was thinking some of the cool stuff you could do, but. I watch these shows like where they travel around the world and hunt for treasures like Oak Island and the down in the Caribbeans and just, you know, charter fishing trips and just try to, not fishing trips, but charter, you know.
Treasure hunts and stuff like that.
Yeah. Just kind of just, you know, to pass the time, you know, you'd be able to see parts of the world. And
sure, pass the time for what, like maybe a few months, but don't you think even that would become mundane? Like, I'm really trying to tap into what makes people happy, and I feel like money is a part of that, but it's definitely not most of it, if that makes sense. Like, don't you want to have meaning and purpose and feel like you're making a difference? Like, doesn't that bring you, like, doesn't that fulfill you in a way that money really can't? Maybe I'm speaking out of
my
ass.
I don't know. I mean, I just feel like so much of my time goes to staying alive that I don't really even think about being fulfilled right now. I'm trying to...
You don't think this job fulfills you?
It does. Yeah, no, I'm definitely striving to something.
Sure,
that's why I feel like I'm striving towards.
Okay, all right.
But I'm more worried about paying my rent.
I got
right
you.
Now, more than do like
you're
doing
in survival mode.
You're in survival mode.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
Work to live instead of live to work. Yeah. One of those type things.
Exactly.
I got you. So that's what you would do, but you think you'd get bored of that, or do you think that you could do that essentially forever?
Oh, I think I could do that for a few years until my mind got attached to something else where I could really get involved, whether it be helping out the, you know, the homeless or, you know, the people that need food or try to find new ways to farm, try to cure cancer. I mean, there's...
Ooh, you got a lot of things on your list. Okay.
Really.
All right.
that's cool.
That's a very noble of you, sir.
Oh, that's, you know, just helping out the fellow man.
Oh, I like it.
Oh, yeah.
I understand it's obviously an unpopular... philosophy,
yeah.
what I'm trying to spew here. But again, of course, I would like to win money. Who doesn't like to win money? But I'm really trying to think after you win the money. Right. What does your life look like then?
Well, let's go back. I asked you before the call.
Oh, yeah, fame or money?
Fame or money.
If I'm not impoverished, I think if I'm...
You won't be impoverished just because of your fame. You wouldn't. You could always crash on somebody's couch or something. People would want to hang out with you.
Okay. If I'm being perfectly honest, now, I feel like... I don't want to say the pragmatic answer is obviously money, right? Obviously.
No, I think it's just a personal preference.
Well,
personality
I would say...
trait.
It would make your life easier, I think, if you had money. That would bring you power, freedom, liberation, whatever. With fame... It's all just about attention and feeding the ego. And if I'm perfectly honest with myself, I would feed the ego.
Really?
Yeah. I know that's crazy. And I honestly do think that there would be a sex difference here. Maybe I'm completely wrong, but I feel like if you were to survey men and women, I think maybe it's a personal thing. Maybe sex has nothing to do with it, but I feel like men would most always take the money.
Yeah. Possibly. I think with fame too. Now there would be money would come along with the fame because people would want you to wear their stuff.
Well,
and they would pay you.
Sure,
to do it.
But the thing we're trying to do, you know, forced choice, one or the other.
Yeah.
So it's either one or the other. We have to separate these two concepts.
I know.
Okay.
I totally get
so
that.
So you would choose money, right?
I would choose money. I don't think I'd want to be super famous. It would be such a huge responsibility to be under such a microscope. You know, you couldn't go out. It'd be hard to go out to breakfast. I like to go have a breakfast at a diner.
I got you. You can go incognito.
I go incognito. Yeah, nobody knows who the hell I am. So I just go in and get my breakfast and leave.
There you go, brothers and sisters. Stay woke. Midnights, 102.5 The Bone. Get that app. Get the Radio St. Pete app. Make sure you follow me on social media, home_made_man. Same thing with Instagram. Radio St. Pete can be found at Radio STPETE on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff. This has been the Homemade Broadcast this week. If you are listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by The Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcasts, I really appreciate you doing that. Please tell a friend. Rate, subscribe. Let me send you some stickers. Get at me, thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com or 813-693-2124. Thank you very much. Have a great week. Stay spooky. And I'll see you next week. Will Koontz, HMB Radio on radiosaintpete.com. Bye-bye.
I just wanted you to know.
You have found The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.